Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. Today we are going to be telling creepy and allegedly true hunting stories sent in by viewers just like you. As I mentioned in my last video, I'm in a new house now, and my studio is not fully set up. So if the quality of this video is a little less than normal, I apologize. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a hunting story or something different, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy hunting stories. I love your channel, and I listen to it constantly at work. I'm a biochemist going for a PhD, and I don't subscribe to many superstitious beliefs, but there have been a few times in my life where my first-hand accounts have left me unable to explain what had happened. This story is about as true as a first-hand account can be, and to be fair, I don't really know what I saw. This story comes from about a decade ago. I'm 23 now, living in the city. But I've lived a pretty well-rounded life and grew up hunting in the mountains of Pennsylvania. One year, my dad took me to the mountains that we always would hunt at for our annual week-long deer hunt season. We would always rent a small cabin for some landowners we'd grown close to over the years. After a couple of unsuccessful days had passed, I woke up to try again before first light. My dad and I drove out to the top of a mountain and hiked into our spots, marked by fluorescent tree pins. I was overlooking a ridge toward the top of a fairly large tree in a tree stand, while my dad went about a half a mile so away on the opposite side of the mountain. We both carried air horns and knew that one signal meant time to go. Three signals meant danger, and a bunch of air horn noises meant a success. This was fine, because we were the only ones hunting in the area. About a half a day passes and I'm still watching down the ridge, patiently waiting for even the slightest noise when I hear the sound of footsteps behind me. Very slow, well-spaced out footsteps that were indicative of a deer meandering through the underbrush. Unfortunately for me, I would have to wait for it to come around the tree before I could see it. I waited for what should have been around 20 minutes, but the whole time, the footsteps continued behind me in the brush. I began to slowly stand up and grab my rifle over the span of 5 minutes, easing the safety on, and then peeking around the tree. I could clearly hear where the noises were coming from, but I couldn't see a deer. The noise was coming from a patch of greenery about 10 yards from my tree stand that was too thick to see through, so I just waited. I waited and waited, all the while hearing the sound until about an hour had gone by. My dad would come to give me a signal very soon that we should stop hunting. I whispered to myself, "Screw it," and slowly moved to sling my rifle over my shoulder and move down the pegs in the tree to the ground. After a few minutes, I heard the sound again and began stalking the sound, expecting to find a deer in the greenery as I moved to a new angle. But instead, I saw nothing. At that moment, I realized everything had gone silent. I hadn't noticed before because I had been closely listening to the footsteps over the past few hours. I continued to pace around the source of the last sound until I heard my dad's horn. I decided that I would push the patch before leaving, since I now know I had nothing to lose, and began walking into the waist-deep brush. It was at that moment that something pushed through all the plants around it and ran off down the ridge. I ran to get a shot on it, but stopped when I saw something silver crawling on the ground on all fours at a speed that could rival an off-road vehicle. It wasn't the underbelly of a jumping deer or the glint of a light from my sights, but a creature of some sort that almost looked like a silver person. Not knowing what the heck was going on or what this thing was, I decided not to shoot. Looking back on this night over dinner, I realized that that thing might have been stalking me the entire time, staying just out of sight and waiting for me to let my guard down. I told my dad, but he just laughed and chalked it up to buck fever. I don't know if what I saw really was real, or if it was just a trick of the light from the setting sun, but it was one of those things that I still fear to this day. I couldn't sleep well that night, and so I stayed up reading. I could see my hunting spot in the mountain from the cabin, and reminisced about the event that night. The next day, I reluctantly went back to my spot after parting from my dad. This time my gun was a low ready, as I was paranoid. I got to my stand, but it was destroyed. The tree I had been on was clawed up, and the pegs I had used for footholds were either bent or thrown somewhere I couldn't see. I stopped and just listened for a minute, and everything was silent, save for a gentle breeze that came and went every so often. I started to turn around when I heard it, the same damn crunching noise from the brush behind my stand. I walked slowly back, gun at the ready, and safety off. I did my best to slowly backpedal through the woods, more or less dragging my feet along so I climbed without so much as making the tree move a millimeter. I gave up on a slow retreat and started going faster and faster back towards the car and began blowing my air horn in triplicate, so my dad knew something was wrong. I got to the car and stopped. I was locked out. My dad had the keys. I got on top of the car and readied my rifle, aiming in the direction I had just come from. My dad comes back and yells at me to stop acting like an idiot and to get off his car, and the like, until he realizes how seriously I'm acting. I refused to do anything until he started the car and he eventually got the hint that we were being stalked by something. We got out, and I refused to tell him about what had happened. I just told him that something had broken the stand and we probably shouldn't hunt there anymore. We went to another mountain the next day, but I still wonder who or what was hunting me. When I was 15 years old in 2016, my dad and I went out in late August. I think it was around the 24th, I can't remember. Anyway, we went out to look at some deer. We weren't planning on shooting anything. I just wanted to see a deer up close and alive. Eventually, we went out, but I can't remember the exact time, but I think it was around 10:30 at night. It took us about 20 minutes to find a deer we were able to sneak up on, so we were about 50 meters away from it, and we watched it eat and do its thing for about 5 minutes. My dad and I have had quite strong winds that day, but nothing out of the ordinary. Winds going from probably around 22 Celsius or 70 degree Fahrenheit down to 19 degrees Celsius or 66 degree Fahrenheit. As this deer faced away to eat, this wind came out of nowhere behind us. It took the temperature down to negative 5 degrees Celsius or 23 degrees Fahrenheit. We looked at each other and silently asked each other, Did you feel that? We both silently nodded at each other. As we looked up at the deer again, it had turned its head straight back toward us. We thought that it smelled us through the wind, but it just stood there looking at nothing for a solid 20 seconds or so. Eventually, it turned around completely. It was now facing us. It took one step forward and stopped, then stood there for another 10 seconds staring at nothing. Its legs started to shake and got weak as the deer fell to the ground. We saw its eyes close. The second it touched the ground, the cold wind just disappeared completely. We laid there on the ground for 5 minutes trying to understand what had just happened right in front of our eyes. We eventually stood up and walked to the deer. It was a young one, looked completely healthy, probably in its early teens or something. But it just lay there dead on the ground, without any explanation as to why or how. We didn't hear any gunfire and no one was out hunting that night in the area. It couldn't be the neighbors because the nearest neighbor lived 2 miles away. We later checked with a professional vet who works with wild animals from a nearby zoo to see if it had gotten a heart attack or anything like that. Maybe it had a tumor or cancer, I don't know. But it had nothing to do with any of those things. It just died on the spot like that. The craziest thing is that both I and my dad had the same exact experience with the cold that happened to us when my grandfather passed away 1 year ago. If anyone has any explanation for this, please let me know in the comments down below. Both me and my dad really want an explanation of this, and please tell me what you think happened. And thank you for sharing my story on your show. My name is Mickey, and I am a 17-year-old male. I live in a small town with a lot of forest and woods, so it's pretty common to see hunters out and around my town with their gear. Hunting's pretty big in our town, and with that comes a few days off early in the school year just for kids to go hunting with their family. Me telling you all this will make more sense pretty soon, and will help you make do of our situation better. So, about a year ago, I was with a small group of friends called Ethan, Zach, and Josh. Since our town's so boring, we have to make do with what we have, and that leads to doing more illegal activities like exploring abandoned buildings, since our town has a lot of those. It was getting pretty dark out, and all of us decided to leave Zach's house and go to the abandoned cabin in the woods that our friend earlier that day was telling us about. We texted him and got the address, and unfortunately, he could not go with us that night, but told us it's pretty steep, muddy, and to wear good shoes because we would slip easily. With that info, we drove about 20 minutes out into the countryside of the town, so no cars were really coming past us at this point. And luckily, we got to the destination as our phones lost service right around this point. We found a good place to park on the side of the road and tread our way up the steep hill. Our friend was right, and it took us a while to get up, but the walk was worth it, because ahead of us was a beautiful cabin with custom wooden carved statues out in the front of the house and a unique copper roofing. Any first analysis made me think this was a vacation home because of the size of the structure, but was too torn up on the side of the house to be anything at this point. I wouldn't say the building could be called abandoned, because all it needed was a little renovation to be good as new. Of course, we weren't going to pass up on such a location to explore, and walked through the broken wall to get in. It led us to the inside main living room, which, without the context of the outer house, you would think was a hotel lobby. We turned on our phone flashlights because it had gotten darker outside, and didn't help the inside's interior lighting. We took videos and snapshots of the place, and made our way to the basement after Zach called us to it. We all were a bit jumpy and nervous at this point, but we had to see what was down there. I couldn't explain why I felt so anxious because the place didn't give off a horror movie vibe or anything, but something about the chilling coldness of the basement seeping through the bottom of the door was very odd, especially since it was so warm outside. After a bit of arguing over whether or not we should leave the door closed or open and move on our way, we decided to open it. Ethan was the one to man up and slowly edge to the door. We all got instantly quieter when the door opened and started to slowly push each other down the steps. I was leading the group as I turned my head to see what was down there. A huge stomping sound charges me, and I flip my head around and scream to run. We all bolt up the steps and hear stomping behind us. We run to the hill, and as I got ready to dip down the hill, Zach drops down and stares at the house. Whoever behind us was not chasing us anymore. I drop beside Zach, Dalton, and Ethan. In normal situations, people would have left, but as I said before this town is very boring, and we never get to have this much going on in our life. It was so dark that the person could not have seen us, which was good, but also bad because we wouldn't be able to see them. We lay there in silence for a moment and stare at the house. We all hold our breath as we hear something scraping the inside of the house. A man comes out dragging something in a large trash bag. It could have been a body, but Zach said it was more than likely a deer. Me and Ethan, being how we are, instantly assumed it was a body. The man seemed in a hurry and dragged whatever was in the bag onto a four-wheeler, which we didn't notice earlier, at the front of the house. What was strange, though, is when he turned the lights on. In front of the vehicle, the road had a tremendous amount of blood covering the pavement, and looked as if something was dragged across it to create a blood trail. As he drove away, I got a better look at the bag and noticed it could not have been a deer, because it was too small and extended farther outwards, instead of more like a large scale like an animal would be. After watching all this go down, we went back to the car and went home. About a year later, we don't think about it that much, but it was recently brought up in a conversation with kids at school, and no one believes us after all of us swear that it happened. We didn't end up telling our parents or police about the situation because of fear of getting in trouble, and none of this really amounted to anything anyway, but I wanted to share this creepy experience I had to see what anyone else thinks about it. I went squirrel hunting one afternoon with my father and brother. It was a Saturday, and we were all off work. We didn't have to work the next day either. I was carrying a 16-gauge bolt-action shotgun that held 3 shells. On this day, it was loaded with number 5 or number 6 squirrel shot. Upon arriving at our hunting location, we decided to split up to hunt alone and meet back at the car just before dark. We had done this on many occasions in the past. My father would usually get back to the car first and blow the horn in 3 short beeps, so we knew he was ready to go. This particular afternoon, I decided to walk down the railroad tracks and away from them farther than usual. I used to hunt alone a lot and had no real fear of the woods, honestly. I actually really enjoy the solitude, and I really enjoy observing nature. I had to jump a 6 to 8 foot watery ditch beside the tracks to get into the woods. It was around 3 p.m. when we arrived, and a very pleasant afternoon. Just a little cool, the sun was still quite a bit above the treetops, with no or very little clouds. This was perfect squirrel hunting conditions, and the timing was right. I had absolutely no ill feelings or misgivings at this point. I knew where I was and enjoying the afternoon. I crossed the ditch and stepped into the tree line. I stopped by a small oak tree to listen to the wind and any animal activity. I heard the wind, birds, and some squirrels barking in the distance. Everything was fine. At first. As I stood there, I began to notice that the sky was changing. In a matter of a few moments, the sky had become very overcast and the humidity had actually increased. There was now a thin, wispy fog at ground level just over the top of the forest ferns that grew in this area. I remember thinking, wow, is it going to rain? What a quick change in the weather. I stood there thinking that we may get wet. I realized that the woods had suddenly become very quiet. I felt as if the atmosphere around me had become very heavy and gloomy. I was within half a mile of a paved road and within 2 miles of the Savannah, Georgia airport, but it was so quiet my ears were ringing. This got me just a little spooked, just a little. I remember thinking of just turning around and walking back out of the woods, but we had just gotten there and I knew my father and brother would not be ready to go. Plus, I would have to explain why I was trying to stop the hunt so early. I had started to feel that something was just not right. I had not moved from where I was standing near the tree. This is when I noticed a movement in the ferns about 200 feet in front of me. Thought it may be a possum, squirrel, rabbit, or something else. What really started me was that this thing started running directly towards me. I could see the ferns moving as it came or was running in my direction. I could hear footfalls and the ferns shaking. This is very, very unusual behavior for a wild animal. I thought that maybe it was a lost dog. I suddenly realized that this could be a rabid animal. At this point, I lowered my shotgun and pointed it at the, so far, unseen animal. When I did this, the thing changed its direction when I was about 30 feet away. It ran off to my left. I never did see what it was, and I've assumed all these years it was something so small I could just not see it through the moving ferns in the fog. Whatever it was kept going on until about 50 feet away from me, then stopped and seemingly disappeared. The ferns were only about 3 or 4 feet tall in this area and not very thick. I could never figure out what it was that I saw, and why I never saw this thing anyway. Was this thing running towards me actually bigger than I realized but invisible? Was I simply seeing the ferns move as its legs were pushing them aside as it came toward me? This thought is a little unnerving to me even to this day. Also, the fact is that this thing turned when I pointed a gun at it. It seems to suggest that it knew a gun could hurt it. I was really wondering what just happened and was getting more of a feeling that I needed to get out of there. So I almost turned to leave the way I'd came. However, my pride and man-up mentality had made me shrug this off. I then walked forward in the direction of where this thing had come. I decided to walk to my right a little and in the direction of where my brother should be and just try to get out of there. After walking a short distance, I came to a very thick and tall patch of briars. The briars were about 8 feet tall in height and about 10 feet in depth. I remember thinking that I had never seen such a large patch of briars in this area before. I looked in both directions to see if there was a way to walk around the briars, and could not see an end to it in either direction. As soon as I had this thought, I was overtaken by a very, very ominous feeling that something was not right here. At this point, I decided, very uncharacteristically of me, to push through this patch of briars and get to the other side no matter what it took. I got scratched pretty badly on my arms while doing this, but I just couldn't help myself. I needed to get to the other side. I kept pointing my shotgun behind me with my right hand while pushing the briars out of the way with my left, in case this rabid animal charged at me again. Now I was surprised again. When I got to the other side of the patch of briars, the first thing I noticed was the sun was out and setting low behind the trees. The sky was clear again. It was 5:30 p.m. now. I could not believe it had taken me 2.5 hours to walk 200 feet. I could hear birds singing, and my dad was signaling it was time to go. The atmosphere was back to normal, and I knew everything was as it should be. What a great feeling it was to hear that horn, though. I never did tell my father or brother about this experience. I am not sure they would understand it. I guess I even felt a little embarrassed about getting spooked while hunting and walking through a patch of briars instead of going back the way I had come. I have a few short experiences that I have found fairly creepy and strange over the years while hunting that I would like to share on the show. It all started one fall afternoon. I was sitting on the crest of a ridge, squirrel hunting, just enjoying the calmness of the woods, when what sounds like a flamethrower appears to be coming straight through the woods at me. This sound caused a flock of turkeys to come flying straight towards me. Then a few deer and squirrels go running by me as well. Then, every bird in the forest goes flying by. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to join all of these animals in this mass exodus or not, so I just sat there, as the sound comes closer and closer. I was really thinking that something terrible could be coming through the woods. Then, all of a sudden, the eeriest screech or yell I have ever heard comes booming down behind me. I have never heard a sound like this, and at this point in my life, I have never heard a sound like this in my better part of 30 years of hunting. I sat there in silence for 30 minutes or so, before I packed up and hauled ass back to my truck. Nothing ever came down after screeching, but I'm sure glad I didn't meet whatever could make that sound. Well, this second one I have comes from last year, this being the most prominent in my memory. I was out checking some trips, after work, probably about 11 p.m. If you're not familiar with trips, it's basically short for trip wires. It's nice and dark out at this point. I got about 150 yards into the woods with me and my buddy. We had our nightlights out, but had them off just walking by what moonlight we had. I took a step and heard something that sounded like a cross between an elk, coyote, human, or something else, making a really loud yawning type noise. It sounded like it was under 15 yards from us, but we were under the cover of a tree and could barely see our trail. Needless to say, that's the fastest I think I've ever drawn a gun in my life. We had lights all over the place, and yet we never saw anything. After about 20 seconds, we heard something running over the crest of the hill. But still, I don't know what it was. I just hope we scared it as much as it scared us. I'm quite familiar with the animals here, and don't mind traipsing around in the dark of the Appalachians. But I don't know what this was, and kept my handgun in one of my hands for the rest of the night. This last and final story I would like to share is from when a friend and I were bow hunting 1 year ago, and we both had gone to our stands. We were hunting in the mountains of Virginia at this time, where there were a lot of black bears. So, we had to be very careful. After it was time to come off the deer stand, I went down off the mountain down by the creek where the old trail we walked in had been. I waited for my friend to come on out. It had gotten dark by then, and I could see his flashlight coming out of the mountain till he hit the trail and started walking down it. For some reason, I thought it would be a fun idea to scare him. I got behind a large oak tree and put my bow down. Walking down the path about the time I got to the tree, he had no idea I was there. I let him get about 10 feet past it, and I screamed out as loud as I could. I tried to sound like a black bear if at all possible. I'm not sure how convincing I was. I took off running towards him and scared him so bad the flashlight went up and down about 5 or 6 times and he dropped to his knees. It scared him so bad. I never laughed so hard in my entire life before. He threatened to get me back for a week or so after that, but even he thought it was funny after he thought about it. Even today I chuckle about that and it was good memories, but that doesn't end there. Right after this, we heard that yawning noise from that story I told you before. We instantly got quiet and looked at each other with a WTF look. We decided just to book it to the trucks and not think about anything. These are my creepiest experiences out there. They all kind of involve weird noises. I've not really seen anything personally, but I've heard a lot of weird stuff out there. Thank you for sharing my stories. Thanks for listening to these creepy, allegedly true hunting stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit the subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a hunting story or something completely different, be sure to submit them at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours will help keep this channel going. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite stories from the swamp on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podbean, and just about every other podcast platform you can find. Thank you guys for always supporting the swamp as you do. I do apologize if these stories aren't the best quality, as I am not in my preferred recording setup, but I should have my full studio set up, fully good to go, by the end of the week. Thank you guys for being patient with me. If you made it all the way to the end, today's code word is Blue Emerald. Comment that down below to let me know that you made it to the end and to confuse everybody else who didn't. Thank you guys as always. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video. Tally ho, my friends.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.